John Boy Media has a new teammate. It's iHeart Podcasts. What does it mean? John Boy Media shows can now be found over at the Dan Patrick Show. That's right. How cool is that? Wake and Jake and Jimmy's Three Things have joined the iHeart Podcast and Dan Patrick Show family. And the best part, they'll still continue to be the same shows you know and love. If you couldn't tell, we're excited about this one, and thank you guys for listening.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Shea Station podcast. It is episode 117. It's Thursday, December 8th. The winter meetings are wrapping up, and the Mets had quite the week in San Diego, bringing in all sorts of players. We're going to talk about their newest two acquisitions today, Jose Quintana and Brooks Raley. I'm one of your co-hosts, Jack, a.k.a. Jolly Olive. Joining me is Jerry Blevins. Jerry, how you doing today?
I'm good, man. I'm good. It's weird to see you at home now. It's so rare. You're in the office working so hard all the time, and now I get to look at you while you're back home in your home office.
I also didn't notice until now, but I got to adjust that poster there, I think.
It's good. Also, I don't want to put you on the spot, but for the Rule 5 draft, I know we picked up a guy named Zach Green.
Yeah.
Who did we lose anyone?
We didn't lose anybody. We'll probably talk a little bit about Jake Mangum, who – I personally thought we were going to lose and then ended up just becoming the player to be named later.
We'll throw that in at the back end because, like, as I've stated a million times, that prospect stuff is not my cup of tea.
Yeah.
So, all right. Cool. I'm excited, though. I think they made, you know, the Verlander news was hot, great, big move. And then Quintana and then Brooks Raley, I think, are solid moves. So I'm excited to talk about them.
Yeah, two Southpaws, two of Jerry's people coming.
That might be why I'm so excited to talk about them.
I don't blame you, man. the first one in the higher note was definitely Jose Quintana. He gets a two-year, $26 million deal with the Mets to become a part of their rotation. The Mets really answered a lot of starting pitching questions this week, which is a relief for a lot of Mets fans. They got Verlander at the top. Now they get Jose Quintana from the middle. And Quintana has a really, really interesting career. He's a really fun baseball reference page. Last year was a really good year for Jose Quintana, kind of a little bit out of nowhere because the years prior were kind of a struggle for him. In his age 33 season, he got that one-year deal with the Pirates, kind of like a let's try him out, see what he's still got deal. And he pitches really well, 20 starts and a 3.5. He gets traded to the Cardinals and pitches even better down the stretch, has a really good second half for them, an ERA right above 2 in 12 starts, gets their number one wild card start, shuts out the Phillies, who the Phillies hit pretty much everybody in their playoff run. So I find that pretty impressive. And then the Mets ink him to a pretty team-friendly two-year deal, like very similar to the Taiwan Walker deal that was signed in 2021. So all good things.
Yeah, I think this is a perfect comparison to bring in Taiwan Walker because this is basically who he's replacing in my view.
Yeah.
He's that third, fourth, fifth guy. Taiwan Walker was an all-star, should have been an all-star last year, pitched really well. But he got expensive. He signed a huge 4-year deal with the Phillies. So we're going to see him regularly. He deserved it. He earned it. He was a high prospect. Had a lull, had some injuries, then came over to New York, and New York did a great job. The Mets found him, gave him a 2-year deal, and he was well worth the 2-year deal. So I'm happy that he got paid. But we had a spot to fill in an already thin rotation. And what you're getting from Quintana, first and foremost, is consistency. The guy throws innings. He starts 32 starts. So he burst on the scene with the White Sox at a young age, 23. And then just logged 33 starts, 32, 32, 32, 32. And then half of it in the south side and the north side of Chicago, 32 starts. And then he just goes through. A guy just pitches. And that's what you need when you have two old guys at the top of your lineup or at the top of your rotation, that they're going to need some time here and there just to make sure that they're not broken. You need a guy like what Bassett did last year. Get yourself some innings, and Quintana's doing that. Plus, he comes at a probably a discount because, like you said, he had an incredible year last year. he was incredible his first start of his season, his first 6 years. Then when he hit what it would have been his free agency, he had a big time lull. League kind of figured him out. He started to try to go for strikeouts instead of being in the zone. It looked like it could have been a number of factors, but he figured it out last year, and hopefully that continues because he's a very, very good pitcher who's reliable and he has a very high ceiling. So I like it.
Yeah, I love that you made a note of the innings thing. For four straight years in those early White Sox days, he threw over 200 innings, which is a very hard thing to do. Very
Especially in your early 20s. He burst on the scene. He was 23. He made 22 starts. And then the next year at 24, 33, 32, 200, 200, 200. In 2017, he threw 188 in two-thirds innings. And then he had some struggles on the north side when he went to Wrigley. For a few years, and it's kind of he's been in that lull ever since. And then last year it seemed like he broke back out because he had during those runs he had a low ERA at a 3.5 or under pretty much all those years. So I don't see him as like an elite front end starter. Like, he doesn't throw particularly hard. He's got a really good curveball. He commands the ball. He's not Scherzer Verlander.
Sure.
But he's also a very good pitcher who's figured some things out. He's going to be 34 next year. I like the signing a lot.
Yeah, I really like it too. And you could kind of argue that, you know, he made 32 starts last year, so a full season. Last season might have been the best season of his career. It's the only one with an ERA under 3. He really got his control back on his fastball and his curveball. One thing I want to note is that he's not a guy that tired out in the second half. In the second half, he had the third best MLB in ERA at 1.67 and the seventh best fielding independent pitching at 2.6. He also, and I really like this, let up the least amount of home run per nine of any qualified MLB pitcher at 0.4 home run per nine. And the Mets play in a division with Kyle Schwarber, Bryce Harper, you know, big time boppers, Matt Olson. And these are all left-handed batters that kind of killed the Mets last year. They could really get neutralized by a guy like Jose Quintana. And he signs a deal that's pretty much the same as the one Andrew Heaney signed with Texas, 2 years, $25 million. Heaney had a great year last year. These are really like, I don't view them as a tier below guys like Taijuan Walker and Jameson Taillon. I believe they're, you know, fully the same kind of efficient quality pitcher. And Taillon and Walker, probably because of their age, both inked four-year deals above $68 million. So the Mets find a little bit of a better avenue to save some money because I don't think they're done spending yet.
Yeah, I actually do put him in a tier underneath. Okay. I do, because of the ceiling. Mm. But I think it's a better buy for the Mets to go for a two-year 26. $13 million a year, it's a pretty good discount considering what the other guys got. Like, Taillon was a target, but I'm glad we didn't buy that contract. And Taijuan Walker has pitched great for the Mets, and I wish him nothing but the best. But I'm also glad that the Mets didn't give him that money. That's just how I feel. And I'm excited because you can fill your rotation out with guys like this for the next 2 years, or add another one more piece, a solid piece, do a shorter term deal, allow some guys to come in and develop, and supplement them with a very high quality, lower cost starters.
Yeah. And now the Mets kind of have a viable, somewhat viable 6-man rotation kind of here. They have Verlander and Scherzer at the top. They have Cookie and Quintana in the middle. And then you kind of have your question mark, what if guys with Peterson, McGill, Lucchesi even. So if the Mets want to load manage this year, help out sort of the older guys at the top, they have a pretty good opportunity to do so. And they may not even be done adding to this rotation. The one caveat with Quintana is that the reason he got that tried out deal with the Pirates in the first place is because the prior year he was not very good in 2021. Pitched for three different teams, had a cumulative 6.43 ERA and a 1.67 whip. Did have still pretty good strikeout numbers, but only threw 73 innings. I think he was injured for part of the year, and he kind of found it last year. He is going to be another one of these kind of on the older side guys in the rotation. He's going to be 34 years old next year. That does make him, I think, the youngest man of the top four in the Mets rotation, which is a little concerning. But overall, very, very happy about the signing. Very, very happy about the money that was doled out, and very excited to see Quintana pitch for the
Mets. Yeah, me too. He's solid. He's a Colombian. I like Colombians. They're you know, I don't know. They're just a fun breed of ball player. I like their attitude. I lived over there for a couple of months, so I have, I'm partial to that. And he was an absolute superstar on the rise when he started. And then again, we talked about it. So I think he's a good fit. I like where he's going to slot in. The pressure will be, you know, kind of waned, but he's, you know, he's used to pitching in those situations. I think he figured something out to be that consistent. It didn't do anything like start throwing a new pitch or start throwing harder. I think he just figured himself out at this point in his career, which comes at seems like a good discount for the Mets.
Yeah, definitely. And just to give a proper send off, I'm going to miss Taiwan Walker a lot. Just
me too.
The human being, Taiwan was a really good dude to have on this team. Really, I think lived up to that 2-year deal, exceeded expectations for me, made an all-star team, had a 3.4 last year. He earned that deal with the Phillies for sure. And the Phillies do need, you know, pitching in their rotation. I am glad the Mets, I think, steered in a different direction. It was probably best for both parties, I think, change of scenery type of thing. But Taiwan Walker is a fantastic pitcher. It's unfortunate that another one of my Mets favorites is going to be in the division playing against us, but very happy for Taiwan.
I'll tell you what, man, if I'm a Phillies fan, I'm excited by Taiwan Walker signing. Yeah, I think that he fits into their rotation a lot more solidly than he would have our rotation in this instance, because, you know, not to talk about division rivals, but they've got Zach Wheeler, true ace at the top, Aaron Nola, who is very, very, very good. Not on that same level though, but can be with that curveball. And then they had Ranger Suarez, who kind of looked like incredible, still has some ceiling left, looked great. And then Taiwan Walker as their 3-4. Like that's two, you know, what was very thin and top heavy now becomes a little bit deeper. So if I'm the Phillies, plus they signed Trey Turner, they got to be feeling pretty good.
Yeah, I mean, one, I almost forgot about the Trey Turner thing because it happened like 3 days ago and so much has happened since then. But two, yeah, kind of a weaker spot of the Phillies, you know, playoff run was their game 4 start, because it was no Syndergaard, it was Kyle Gibson, it was a bullpen game. Taiwan Walker is a really, really good guy to have at your number 4.
Very capable of making a playoff start, absolutely.
Hell yeah. So good for Taiwan. But the Mets were not done getting lefties. They add to their bullpen, which is kind of something we've been waiting for, because they address the starting rotation. They still have to figure out center field, whether it's Nimmo or somebody else. And the bullpen, you know, it's still kind of Edwin Diaz, Drew Smith, and then what else? Well, now the what else turns out to be Brooks Raley, who's a pretty good top-end bullpen relief guy. Coming from the Tampa Bay Rays, they deal Keyshawn Askew in the deal. He was not a Mets top 30 prospect. Guy with a funky delivery, who I'll dive into a little bit later. Got some help from Jacob Resnick on that one.
Good. I was going to say, that's our guy.
Yeah, that's our guy now. But Brooks Raley had a fantastic season last year for the Rays. He was a guy that I actually wanted the Mets to check in free agency last year. In 2022, 53 2/3 innings, a 2.68 ERA, 0.9 whip. Strikeouts galore, and was really, really tough against lefties.
His lefty numbers are absurd. Absurd.
And the Mets have kind of been trying to find their lefty in the bullpen for quite a while now, probably since, you know, the days of Jerry Blevins, not to toot your own horn, but really, I can't think of a significant one from 2019, 2020, 2021 besides Aaron Loop. So this is a really welcome trade as well.
Yeah, the guy, he went to the KBO, went to Korea and established himself. He was a starter there, really, really found out who he was, mastered that slider. You wrote an interesting piece in the notes, and we talked about it a little bit before. When you think of really nasty sliders from the New York Mets, who do you think of?
You think of Adam Ottavino.
Ottavino's slider and all that movement, the stuff was fun to watch. Well, according to statistics and analytics, his was the fourth most horizontal movement, and Brooks Raley's slider was the third most. So it had more horizontal movement than Ottavino's, which is unfathomable to me. Mm. I don't even know who the 2 and 1 are. Like, that doesn't make any sense.
Check that out, actually.
But you're getting a guy, first of all, who gets lefties and righties out. I think that's a key, because the 3-batter minimum, all that stuff, I think is really good. He throws 4 pitches. He throws a sinker, which is rare for a lefty to throw, that ball that gets down and in on you from a left-handed. That also makes you very effective against righties. Then he throws that slider mostly to lefties and righties. He also has a very good changeup, and he throws a really solid cutter. So he has four legitimate pitches, which he mixes in quite a bit, that makes him effective versus lefties and righties.
Yeah, I mean, it's especially if you get Ottavino back, having both of these guys in your bullpen that can
going like this,
tunnel those sliders,
make them play catch with each other. It'd be hilarious.
Amazing. I want to watch that. Catchers sitting right next to each other, bumping into each other.
If they're throwing to each other, they throw it at the same time. Right. Their pitches are coming like this.
It's a nightmare. Yeah, but I mean, it's only his sixth MLB season. When you look at his baseball reference, it's kind of a weird story.
It is weird. I looked at it yesterday when they signed him.
Active in 2013, leaves for 5 years, which, you know, we've seen guys go overseas, hone their craft, and come back. 5 years is a long time to kind of be over there figuring your stuff out. But it worked out for Brooks Raley, for sure. And he came back to the Astros in 2021. His numbers weren't amazing. They didn't blow the doors off anybody, but he's kind of an analytical darling, and I think that's probably what the Rays saw. And the Rays invested pretty decent money in this guy, considering what the Rays usually spend. And I guess they decided to offload the contract to spend the money elsewhere. So he's going to make $4.5 million this year, which is a bargain for the kind of pitcher that he is, and then a $6.5 million club option for 2024. So if all goes well, the Mets have their lefty reliever problem solved for at least the next 2 years, which is a welcome sight for sure.
Yeah, if anybody goes to – these are the three teams that I look for to find something. The Giants, who have a way of making guys better, the Astros, and the Rays. And he visited both the Astros and the Rays. Pretty exciting stuff. And I think he's very good. He's going to be, like you said, older, 34, 35, 36. But relievers, that's what we do, you know?
Yeah, and I think the Rays probably saw a Brooks Raley in the making in Keyshawn Askew, because they get him for cheap.
Is he left-handed?
He is also left-handed, funky delivery, had a really good year in A-ball last year, 2.44 ERA, struck out a ton of guys, 34.0 K rate. I'm not heartbroken that the Mets let him go, but this is definitely a dude that was making waves in the Mets farm system last year, probably going to rise up the ranks pretty quickly. Former 10th round pick, still a young kid, and I'm sure the Rays are going to apply some interesting things to him to make him even more nasty, but I think that's a good price to pay for the Mets.
Good. Yeah, I mean, again, is he a reliever in the minor leagues?
He's a reliever, yeah.
See, I have no problem trading low-level minor league relievers that are successful, because you never know. It's projecting major league success is hard enough as is. If you get somebody that's established at a cheaper deal that can help you win a championship possibly now, and trade them for a wild card of a low A ball, relief guy, you're not missing out. He's never going to be a Scott Kazmir where you trade him and he comes back and it's haunting you.
Yes.
You'd be like, oh yeah, we had that guy. Who'd we trade him for? He could have a great career, but he's not going to haunt you. So.
Yeah. Victor Zambrano. That's a name that haunts me forever as a Mets fan. And Raley's specialty, of course, is just bullying left-handed batters, which I think the Mets could definitely use with the aforementioned names in the NL East.
Do you have his numbers pulled up on what he did to lefties?
Yeah, I'll tell you right now.
They're incredible. Like it made me laugh because I was like, that can't be right. What he did was ridiculous.
Yeah, so he held lefties to a 155 average, a 482 OPS against. The kicker that I really like. Kicker that I really like is 60 strikeouts, which was a 37.3 K rate against lefties, just 7 walks, which is a 4.3 walk rate, and a 1.74 ERA. The days of the situational lefty are done, but this is a guy that can get lefties and righties out both sides of the plate.
Guy that if Bryce Harper is up, you bring him in, he could still get out Rhys Hoskins and then face, you know, Trey Turner or whatever the case may be, because he knows where to put the ball. He knows, and sinkers keep the ball in the ballpark. And he can cut it. Like I really like the signing. If he can stay healthy, which it seems like he's figured out, I think it's very exciting. We got an old ass team.
Yeah, we got a really old team. Depending on who you are, you might love it, you might hate it.
Oh, like the Nationals won the World Series with the oldest team.
So I'm saying,
why can't we do it?
And they had the de facto face of their franchise depart right before that happened.
That's right.
Really makes you think. I found the two other sliders with the most movement, Matt Brash of the Mariners and Evan Phillips of the Dodgers. There you go.
Evan Phillips, okay, and Matt Brash, I didn't see enough of. So again, I don't know.
Stuff. Young kid.
Yeah, I'm assuming.
Yeah. Mets made some other minor league depth moves, like we mentioned before. Jake Mangum, who's kind of a fan darling in the Mets prospect list, he goes to the Marlins to complete that Eliezer Hernandez and Jeff Brigham trade. Kind of makes sense. When the trade happened, we were kind of like, that's it. That's really all they want for these two, you know, major league dependable arms. This makes more sense. Mangum goes to the Marlins. Mangum wasn't a top 30 prospect guy. Really had plus speed, plus glove in the outfield, batted really well last season, but never got a crack at the major league level. He's going to turn 27, so I like this move for him. He's going to finally get some major league reps. I'm sure the Marlins are looking for some outfield help, so the pairing makes a lot of sense to me.
I think you've mentioned his name a few times, so I know he's been on your list. He feels like your guy.
Yeah.
Does he feel like one of your guys? Where you want to see him have,
but yeah, he was one of my guys.
You want to see you'll see him have success and be like, man, it would have been nice to see him in the blue and orange.
As long as it's not against us. That's all I care about.
Yeah, cool. Then Zach Green, they picked up in Rule 5. Zach I don't know Green, anything about him. Teach me.
I learned about him this morning. AAA.
Well, teach me from via Resnick.
Zach Green, we drafted him from the Yankees in the Rule 5 draft. Yankees kind of have a history of pitchers getting drafted in the Rule 5 draft and becoming
Rule 5 draft is if you're about to be protected on the 40 man and they don't put you on the 40 man, you're now available to all other teams. And this is like, okay, the Mets didn't value this guy. Well, we value him because we've scouted him. We're going to put him on our 40 man and he has to stay on the 40 man for the entire year or in the big leagues. Depending if it's the minor league side, it's not, but it's a little bit of a complicated process, but it's basically like, all right, you didn't protect that guy. You didn't value him. We think he fits better in our organization. So we're going to go for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. So that's a good clarification for anyone that doesn't know. And the Yankees have had some bad luck in the past with the Rule 5 draft, obviously, you know, an organization that spends a lot, plethora of talent, but guys that they haven't protected in the past include Nestor Cortes Jr., who they ended up getting back, which is good. But Garrett,
so they
Whitlock,
were right.
What's up?
They were right about him because he wasn't ready, I guess.
I guess he wasn't ready. He went to the Mariners, came back, so it all worked out. But they did lose Garrett Whitlock, I think, a couple years ago to the Red Sox in this very same draft.
Yeah.
I don't really know what Zach Green's going to be, but what I do know is they had really good numbers at AAA last year, which is always a plus. He threw 68 innings. He struck out 96 dudes, and he had a 3.42 ERA. So I'll welcome that any day of the week. He was a primary reliever, so I imagine that's the role he'll fill with the Mets if he does get called up. And the Mets now poached Zach Green and Steven Reinings from the Yankees.
All right, so that feels good.
Yeah, I like
so that. So the Rule 5 draft, now he has to be in the big leagues, correct?
I believe so. Yeah. He's got to be on the
40. Yeah. So he has to stay on the roster. I just want to make sure because there's a minor league phase and there's a big league phase.
Because then he can get returned back to the Yankees.
So now if he has to stay above where he would have been, so he has to be in the big leagues on the 26th man the entire season. If they option him down, they have to offer him back to the team that had him. So the Yankees for $50,000. And they can say, all right, we'll take him back, whatever the case may be. But this is a gamble to say, hey, that we think this guy could fit in the big leagues. And if not, we'll try to sneak him back into our organization. Really kind of risk-free.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, if nothing else, Billy Epler has done a really good job just kind of filling out depth for this Mets kind of like quadruple A players, filling out pitching depth behind the bullpen. Tommy Hunter's back, which is exciting.
I saw that.
Very, very cool.
That's exciting. They love Tommy.
They love Tommy. I love Tommy.
I do as well. Tommy. So, you know, that'll tell you a lot about a person's character. If a guy has had some injuries and they keep bringing him back to be around, it means he's an awesome clubhouse guy. It means that he works hard, that he's a likable person. And when he's pitching well. So I like the move. I think it's smart. It's, again, it's hard to fill out depth when you are spending this much because you have so many locked spots on your roster. So having guys that are willing to come to you like a Tommy Hunter and possibly go up and down or fill in or start in the minor leagues, that's impressive.
Jerry, I got a fun question for you. So
all right.
Tommy Hunter joining the old man brigade, he's going to turn 36 years old next year. I guess I didn't realize how great he's been for the Mets. He's thrown 30 innings in the past 2 years. Guess what his ERA is?
I bet it's under a two.
It's 1.78. Tommy Hunter, baby.
He's pitched so well.
Crazy.
Yeah, and there was phases. There were times when he sat idle for a while, and he was kind of mop-up duty. He'd just come in and get people out. He's got that sinker. He was an analytics guy where they're like, you have a great four-seam fastball. Mm. Let's throw that four-seam. He's like, but I get people out all the time on my sinker. They're like, your sinker's average. He goes, I get people out. And so he tried, and it didn't really work out. And so he never stuck.
Yeah.
But after a while, you know, whatever the case may be, but he just knows how to get people out and consistently.
So it's old a sinker, man. Tommy,
sinkers are nasty. They're coming Tommy back, by the way. Mix.
They are, for sure.
Sinkers are coming, especially with the band shift. You're going to avoid barrels. That's one thing. You talked about Brooks Raley and his analytics. The whole pitching, every philosophy about pitching is you want to minimize hard hit percentage. You want to avoid barrels. You don't want the ball to get hit. He was in like the 98th, 99th percentile, Brooks Raley, of missing barrels. Like he just knows how to keep the meaty part of the bat off the ball. It's amazing. As good as Jeff McNeil is at hitting the ball, I feel like Brooks Raley is really good at getting people to just miss.
Yeah.
Which is the key.
Exactly. And I mean, but having the Tommy Hunters of your organization are just as important, in my opinion. Tommy's a guy that could probably make the club again next year if this bullpen remains, you know.
He'll be in the big leagues. Right now. If he stays with the organization, with the team, he will be in the big leagues at some point because you're going to need – you need depth. You have guys that you have to fill in. You'll have – there will probably be two or three more.
Yeah.
We're going to see Negosic in there. We're going to see a bunch of depth guys that come in. And if you have quality guys that can fill in that – a part of a season where a thin organization that gets cheap on signing guys like Tommy Hunter, you fill them in with guys that you have to call up from AA, and they'll get lit up and be the moment will be too big for them and they'll just fall to the wayside and you'll lose a bunch of little games that you should have stayed competitive in because you didn't have enough depth. Yep. This is another sign that this organization is very healthy because they're not trying to cut any corners. They're not overspending, as you see with the Taiwan Walker. It would have been so easy for them to just give Taiwan the money and bring him back. They're finding quality guys, staying competitive, but also filling out depth. It's a very good look for this organization.
No, I love that you made that point because, you know, besides the huge signings of Verlander and Quintana, you know, there's been so many that have been kind of in the cracks, you know, and now you have a kind of any number of these guys between Negosic and Hunter and Steven Ridings and Jeff Brigham, all these names that have kind of just piled up could all just start the year in AAA. And then you have one of the most stacked minor league depths right behind your actual bullpen. It's really, really cool. And it is like that rainy day fund that you mentioned. The Mets used to lose a lot of those games. I don't know if you've ever looked at the 2019 Mets bullpen numbers. They're interesting. And those were the guys that were up for most of the year.
Oh, I watched it from Atlanta.
Yeah.
Laughing that they didn't bring me back. Like an angry laugh, like how dare you?
You might have been the closer that year.
I felt I did get a save against those Mets.
Let's go.
Again, they'll do it. You'll see it they're going to sign some quality big league, minor league invites, position player wise, to fill out the depth. They're going to bring in guys to where you won't have a Khalil Lee. 19-year-old kid forced to start in the outfield because you don't have enough depth.
Right.
They're gonna bring guys in that can fill in and do a replacement level job for very cheap because they're big leaguers. They just don't have a spot, or they see a guy in your organization that has higher potential. They're gonna let this guy feel it out, and this guy has no home, so he's going to bounce around. Still very quality big league caliber players are going to fill in this organization. It's going to be fun to watch. If I were a very good kind of bench piece for a team, I'm looking at a team like the Mets because they're going to call me up in the minor leagues because they want to win versus if you're in a crappier organization that doesn't want to win, like you go to the Reds. They're going to call up a kid because they're going to give him time to play because they don't care if they win.
Right.
But the Mets want to win. So they're going to call up a guy that they can help their ball club and gap whatever, you know, injury that they're doing.
Yeah, exactly. Or if you're playing for the Reds, you're just playing to get traded at that point. If you're getting those major
it's not very fun. But that, you know what I mean. You're gonna fill out your organization. You're gonna call up guys with potential at some point if you think they're ready, but you're not just gonna go like this, like, well, we tried, you know. Yeah. So you're gonna have some depth. They're gonna sign some guys on both sides of the ball that can play some baseball.
I mean, when I think back to last year, the only real time I can think of a scenario where that happened from the Mets, where they kind of had their hand forced and had to call up a young kid, was the Jose Budo start, which was the Mark Canna 2-home run game. But that was necessity. There was
really that was also the weird double headers,
right?
And the stacked the delayed start. So those were a lot of factors went into that. But the fact that they didn't have to dig too deep on a regular basis shows you, you know, again, the vitality of this organization to stay healthy, to win some baseball games at the major league level.
Hell,
that's the goal.
Yeah. And they're not done spending yet.
They're not done. They better not be done. Yeah. They still have. What are the needs in your view? Obviously, the Nimmo question.
So
I still am working under the assumption that he goes elsewhere. That's my thought process.
So it's tough to see the scenario where, you know, he comes back on any inkling of a team friendly deal. Nimmo's going to get paid. Judge set that.
He's going to have 9 other offers that are going to be above it. And he's like, you guys can't match that. That's.
I mean, Nimmo was in San Diego at winter meetings, you know, meeting with these teams.
Charming the socks off of everybody.
Country smile, baby.
Lighting people up.
So obviously Nimmo is a necessity in just filling center field in general. And the options are thin because a lot of them went in this past week. Outside of that, you know, you could roll into this season with this rotation. I think the Mets might be open to adding another starter. Who knows? And then the bullpen after that. So, I mean, the work is not done yet. The Mets, I think, could right now field a successful team, not the 101 win team we saw last year, but still a winning team. But I don't think that's satisfactory.
How would you feel about them adding Jared Eichhoff?
That's like a...
I'm just kidding. I actually, you know, but
I didn't want to be mean. It might be a friend of yours.
I actually do like Jared.
Yeah. Seems like a nice guy. His post-game presser was great.
Yeah, he understands. But I think, you know, he just had a tough run in Queens. Yeah, and I figured as a volatile fan on occasion, you'd have some feelings on him.
What are you talking about? No way.
Yeah.
What are you talking about?
But so yeah, I think they still need 2 more significant bullpen pieces, 2 more Brooks Raley-esque signings.
Yeah.
It'd be nice. Ottavino is one that seems like...
Fingers crossed.
Yeah, it makes me worried a little bit that it's taken this long.
Yeah.
That because you want a guy, you give him an offer. If he wants to be there, he accepts an offer, like you meet in the middle. So the fact that it's kind of been out there a little bit, and he's a New Yorker. The fact
the one thing I'll say is that we didn't sign Ottavino until March last year. Right?
Yeah, but
it's different now.
It's a new scenario.
Yeah.
It makes me worried that he's kind of out there. I could see the Yankees also courting him.
You think so?
Trying to come back to the Bronx.
He likes New York, right?
What's that?
He likes New York. I figure he wants to be here.
Well, he lives here. Yeah, he's from here. Yeah.
So that wouldn't shock me at all.
He's from New York, but he lives in New York.
I'm hoping the Mets bring him back because he was awesome last year. And that kind of just feels like a fit.
Yeah, and it feels like it's repeatable too, what he was doing. It wasn't like a fluky. Again, we keep talking about Aaron Loop. You and I both talked about it. Aaron Loop was going to sign a deal because of he was unbelievable in a Mets uniform, and I'll be grateful for it. But we didn't expect him to match those numbers, but you would have if he came back in a uniform. The first time he gave up like a home run, you'd have been like, oh,
yeah,
now, completely. You know what I mean? And so I feel like what Adam Ottavino did last year is sustainable and can move over to this year.
Yeah, I think so too. And even if the fixing the bullpen means just bringing back guys you had last year, that's fine. The Mets had a really good bullpen last year and they added one outside piece to it. I do think Seth Lugo is probably gone just because of the rumor that teams want him to be a starter. And I think that's
good
probably
for him, by the
that's
way.
What he wants.
I'm very surprised. I'm very surprised that he's got as much. I mean, he's an analytical darling. Like
yeah.
teams that look at spin and all that stuff, they're like, dude, you can come and pitch. You have 11 pitches. You want to start? You can start. And if Lugo wants to do that, good for him, man. He's always viewed himself as a starter. Good for him. I hope he gets that chance, and I hope he thrives. But again, it's a fit for a different organization if that's what he wants to do. He'll be missed. That's a spot that we got to fill.
That middle relief seventh inning guy will definitely be missed. And you know, I mean, as evident from Taiwan's deal, Tyone's deal, and Verlander's deal, especially, starting pitching is expensive. So if teams can find a way to get creative or find an avenue where it's a little bit less money, like the Mets Quintana deal, I think they're going to act on it. So I fully expect
$13 million is a cheap deal starting pitcher. Again, now I know why Lugo wanted to be a starter.
Yeah, that's man. So that's where the big bucks are.
Yeah.
Curious to see what contract he gets. Very, very curious.
Yeah, I know he's older too, and so it'll be interesting. But yeah, so I think they have center field or corner outfield spot, depending on how they view it. They have two more bullpen pieces. They have a shot maybe at the one more depth style rotation piece, and then this team seems
ready to go. Yeah, so as long as the stove finally cools down, I think next week we can probably do our Life Without Nimmo episode. I think.
Yeah. Well, by that time, he'll probably be signed to a 18-year, $645 million deal.
$1.4 billion deal.
Yep. Can you imagine how big that smile would be?
It's going to be a big one. That press conference is going to be fun.
Oh, I'm excited to see it, wherever he goes. He deserves it, man. What a guy.
To close the show, I'll read a Michael Mayer tweet that literally just popped up for me. A dozen teams have shown interest in Seth Lugo, but to this point, the Mets have not been one of them.
Yeah, I wonder if it's because of the starter. I wonder if I wonder if Lugo and his agent was like, "Hey, we want to be a starter," and the Mets are like, "Look, we can't do that."
Yeah. So good luck to Seth, then.
Yeah, man. Good luck to him. I wish him nothing but success. And that's one of those things where, as a player, he's probably not bitter. He's grateful, obviously, with the way he stayed in uniform and him and Nimmo went out and like soaked it in as a New York Met. He's very grateful for where he's at, but he sees himself with a higher ceiling as a starting pitcher.
Yeah.
He felt probably like he should have been given a bunch of opportunities to start and stay in the rotation. Always dreamed of it, swallowed his pride, and stayed in the bullpen and did a great job for the Mets. And now he's finally got some freedom of his own to choose. Good for him. I wish him nothing but the best. To make it far enough to where you can decide where your home is and what you want to do and be good enough to be like, look, I don't want that. I want this. It's amazing. Good for him.
Fully agree. And I think that's probably all I got for today.
Me too.
Yeah, solid up. Mets do some fun stuff. They'll probably do more fun stuff in the immediate future.
They've been known to keep surprising. And Kodai Senga coming?
That's my hope.
I would spend 2 minutes talking about that.
Yeah.
To me, that is he's a Japanese right-handed starter.
Yep.
That is the ideal next kind of piece that the Mets can do.
Yes.
For a couple of reasons. Number one is the guy is filthy. Throws 100, has a nasty slider, but it's not a guaranteed for sure kind of Ohtani style Tanaka style thing because he's got some issues. He's got some control issues, some consistency issues. So they're not like a true number one, but he would be a number 4-5 sign that has the potential to be a number one. He legitimately has the ceiling of an ace style starter. It's a great sign. It would be perfect for him because he could come over, be in New York, which is huge, a huge market for him. Being a Japanese player, to let your countrymen follow you around, it's just easier to be in New York. And he wouldn't have the pressure to have to be great and be a number one, which he was in Japan, he could just fall back. He would be behind Scherzer. He would be behind Verlander, and he would be behind Quintana, or at least level with that, without having to be their ace going up against the best of the best in the league. It's ideal for both sides. It's going to be expensive. I would rather spend Taiwan Walker money on Kodai Senga because of the potential than, you know, than a consistent number four. Again, that's just me, but I think that would be amazing. I think it fits both sides so well. It would be so exciting. Having a real true Japanese like star on your team is so fun. I got to play with a few guys. It's fun for your ball club. It's fun for the player. It's just exciting.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. And I think a lot of Mets fans would agree with you too. And, you know, I think the market for him is going to be competitive. He's on the younger side. You kind of don't know what you're going to get, but it's a guy who throws a fastball at 100 and a forkball at 90 miles per hour. That's very, very, very
cool. Forkball. I mean, why do Japanese players always get the fun gyro ball forkball?
Listen, man, we loved Taiwan Splitty. I think we would love Senga's fork even.
What? Well, I still don't know after 39 years of being in baseball the difference between a forkball, a splitter. Like, they're all,
I think they're grip the same, right?
Yeah, they're all the same. They're just the way they pop out.
I mean, yeah, man. I just think it's gonna be competitive.
Let's put together a Kodai, you know, montage of us being like, come on over, man. We'll tag him.
I got my video on him already. If you want to learn more, go check out my channel.
Oh, you have a video? I didn't know.
Yeah. See, it's doing numbers right now because everyone's trying to find it.
Click this link
right there. Jack just got so annoyed.
For sure. Sorry, Jack.
All right, we will see you guys next week, either for more news or more off-season talk. Maybe some stuff about Kodai. I think I would enjoy
it. Yeah, we'll do it all the above. We'll talk. All right, buddy. Thanks. All right, guys. Good episode, man. Let's go Mets.
Let's go Mets.
The first ever Warehouse Games Captains League Slapball Tournament is underway. Head over to the Warehouse Games channel to see all the action from Slapball presented by Shady Rays. Upgrade your eyewear game today with an exclusive offer from Shady Rays. Go to ShadyRays.com, use code WAREHOUSE for 40% off polarized sunglasses. Try for yourself the shades rated 5 stars by over 300,000 people. Thanks, Shady Rays.